So, I work at a small McDonald's in an even smaller town in the south, and I've encountered many strange people and seen some fucked up things so far. But I saw something today that I thought I would never see, and was shocked at how many people didn't notice or didn't care about what was taking place right next to them. I was working behind the counter at around 7 p.m, and we had lots of people in the lobby, a few children as well. I like kids, so usually I watch them play around in the lobby because they're really cute, but I got distracted by the large amount of customers we had to serve, and ignored them for about 15 minutes. I looked back though, when I heard a man ask in a small voice, almost whispering, "So, how old are you?" I turn around to see this extremely tall guy with a shaved head and red shirt, talking to a little girl who looked to be about 5 or 6. He had a little boy around the same age on his shoulders, who was giggling. They were beautiful children with blonde hair and blue eyes. I saw that they were happy, and that the guy seemed friendly, but something in my head was extremely worried. I had a huge suspicion upon seeing this, that these kids were not his. What grown man would ask a little girl how old she is? And if he knew who they were, wouldn't he already know? Why would he care? But after this, he said something that made my heart sink.
"You should come with me now. I have a little brother who's 6'2". Let's go play with him."
He then began to walk to the exit with the boy on his shoulders, and the girl tagging along. I immediately shot for the door to stop him, just as a lady with blonde hair came out of the bathroom shouting, "Hey, where are you going? Get over here!" The tall guy froze with eyes as big as saucers. He was fucking petrified. The lady then scooped up the little girl in her arm, and reaches for the boy as the tall guy lets him down, stammering,
Oh, I was just playing with your kids. They're really nice kids. I just really like kids."
All at once, with a nervous smile, the blonde lady then faked a smile back, but still had eyes that clearly said, "Stay the fuck away from my children, you fucking creep." But her mouth ended up saying, "Oh, well, I'm glad you had a nice time, but we need to order now." She then led her kids to the back of the restaurant. The tall guy hurried out of the front exit, and the lady clutched her kids close to her the entire time she was there, even in their booth. If I ever see that guy at work again, I will immediately call the cops on him. Who knows what would have happened to those kids if I wasn't looking, or their mother hadn't come out of the bathroom at that very second. I think it's awful that she left her kids unattended in a full restaurant lobby, but no one deserves to lose their children to a disgusting creep with a sick grin like that. When I was growing up, my dad and I lived with my grandparents. My parents had me while they were teenagers, and my dad got full custody because he lived with my grandparents, and my mom was just living with random friends, going from house to house every few weeks. I was the daughter my grandparents never had, and they doted on me. When I was 6, my grandpa passed away from cancer. This story takes place about 5 months after he passed. This was, I believe, on a Saturday, and my dad was at work. My gram decided to take me to McDonald's for lunch, and like any 6-year-old, I was really excited. So we go down to the McDonald's that was about 1.5 miles from our house, order our lunch, and sit down at a table to eat. At the time, we were the only ones eating inside. About 10 minutes after we sit down though, a scraggly looking man walks in, orders a meal, and sits down at the table diagonally in front of us to the left. The area we lived in was middle and upper class, so this guy looked pretty out of place. Graham had her back to him, but I could see him perfectly. This man was in at least his mid-50s, with really wiry, scraggy, and dirty white hair and a beard. He had on blue shorts and a white t-shirt, also kind of dirty, and sandals. It's amazing. This happened 21 years ago, but I can remember it like it was yesterday. So I noticed that under the table, this man had something dark, pink, and wrinkly in his lap, and he kept glancing at me and rubbing it every few seconds. In kindergarten, we learned about stranger danger, and good touch, bad touch, and learned which parts of our body people weren't supposed to touch. It clicked in my 6-year-old head that this man was not supposed to have that out like that, nor be doing what he was doing. I got really queasy and nervous. I didn't want to tell my gram right then and there, because I thought the man might hurt us. If my dad had been there, though, I would have said something, because my dad was my hero and could take on anybody. Instead, I put my Happy Meal box in front of my face so my view of this guy could be blocked. I had about half of my food left, but at this point I'd lost my appetite. Gram asked me if I was full, and I just nodded yes. I was, and still am, very petite, so not finishing a full meal was nothing new for me. She asked me if I wanted to go play in the play area before we left, but I just shook my head and quietly said, "I want to go home." Gram cleared our table, and we left. When we got home, I was still really nervous, and I felt like I was going to throw up. Gram asked me, "What's the matter, Munchkin?" her pet name for me, and I started crying and told her about the man at the McDonald's and what I saw. My gram didn't panic or freak or get hysterical. She just hugged me and said, "It's all right. Go on to your room and play. I'll take care of it." She wiped my tears, gave me a blueberry Kool-Aid burst, and told our dog, Patches, to go to my room with me, which she did. After I was out of earshot, Gram called the McDonald's and told them about this guy. Turns out he was still there. The manager told Gram he'd take care of it and call her back. An hour later, the manager calls back and tells Gram they called the police, who showed up in record time and arrested the guy. When the police told the man to stand up, his Franken beans were still hanging out of his shorts. The manager also told Gram that she could bring me back for a month's worth of coupons for free Happy Meals. I have another story about a weirdo that happened a few years later, and this time my dad was there. And believe me, what my dad did to him was not pretty. But that's a story for another time.
I'm of the ripe old age of 91, so as you can probably guess, we're going to have to go back quite a few years for this story. Back in 1957, I was 28 years young, and I was working as a door-to-door salesman for Howard and Lawrence Home Insurance. Back in those times, a door-to-door salesman was an honest living. You would have your fair share of turnaways, but at least you didn't get the door slammed in your face like you do now. My colleagues and I were working this remote neighborhood outside of Tyler, Texas. We would take turns knocking on doors, trying to sell the good people of Texas homeowners insurance policies. Our initial sweeps of the neighborhood were unsuccessful, but I was ambitious. At this time in my life, I had been married for a year, and my eldest was only 6 months old, so that commission pay I would receive by closing a deal was a priority for me. There was this two-story cypress house, with some horse stables out front, and stood out to me because most of the dwellings up to this point had been for simple living, and the owners of this place looked like they were better off, as it were. So I viewed it as a golden opportunity. As I was approaching the house, I got this unnerving feeling deep inside. But I ignored this feeling, and did what I came there to do.
Howard and Lawrence Homeowners Insurance. Can I speak to the man of the house? Anybody home?
There did not appear to be anyone in the house. Had it been any other day, I would have most likely just taken my leave. But as I said earlier, I was eager to make a deal. I wanted to impress my superiors by being the first one to sell off a policy in this particular area, so I figured that the homeowner was probably out back, chopping some firewood or fixing a tractor. I grew up on a farm myself, and I can tell you from experience, there is always work to be done somewhere. As I made my way around back, this uneasy feeling persisted. That's when I saw it. There was something on the ground behind the side house. It looked like a bed sheet with blood stains on it, with a machete sticking out of the ground beside it. I didn't want to come to any rash conclusions. Perhaps it was a deer carcass or a dead hog. but something told me that I had to take a look. I had to see what was beneath the sheets. What I saw was truly horrifying. In utter shock, I stood and turned, and that's when I saw him. In a panic, I made a break for it. I knew that if I ran back the way I entered from, the man with the axe surely would have caught me. That left me with no choice but to take my chances in the forest behind the property. Upon entering, I seemed to have lost the man with the axe. He had been hot on my heels, closing in, but as soon as I crossed the tree line, he disappeared. It was now a game of cat and mouse. While I was wandering aimlessly among the trees, looking over my shoulder every 5 seconds, I heard another set of footsteps coming from somewhere nearby. So I quickly hid behind this large tree, hoping that the man would pass by, so I could discreetly head back in the direction of the house. The man walked right past the tree I was hiding behind. And as I was just about to make my move, the unthinkable happened. I panicked and stupidly went back to my hiding spot. I could now hear the man with the axe closing in. He knew exactly where I was. The only thing I could think to do was just to bow my head and pray. This man would most definitely bury that hatchet into my head, but it was my own fear that was my ultimate downfall. I didn't pray for my life to be spared. I asked God to forgive my sins and watch over my family. I remembered wondering if it would be over quickly. To my surprise, death never came, and I heard footsteps heading away from my hiding place. I got up and saw the man heading back towards the house. I simply didn't understand what was happening. I thought maybe I was already a ghost. But the pounding in my chest told me that I was still very much alive. I didn't know what to make of the situation, so I decided to hide out in these woods a while longer. After about an hour, the Texas heat finally got the best of me, and I eventually backtracked my way to the house. Maybe not the smartest move, but I figured that if the man was going to end me, he already had plenty of opportunity to do so. And besides, I had left my briefcase behind. When I finally made it back there, there was no sign of the man with the axe or the bloody sheets. There was only a few red stains on the ground next to my briefcase. I took my leave and reported this incident to the local sheriff. I found out that the old lady who lived at that house had recently passed away, and the place was unoccupied. The woman's son would come by every day to take care of the horses, but after seeing photos of him, I can say with certainty that he was not the man that I saw that day. The sheriff suggested that who I saw that day had been a poacher who was illegally hunting on that property, and me walking around in the Texas sun all day had caused me to see things. There had been no missing persons report filed anywhere around that area, and without a body, there wasn't really much the sheriff could do. Mind you, this was long before the times of forensic science or DNA testing, but I do know what I saw under those bedsheets. Someone had met a very gruesome end. It was ultimately this experience that made me quit being a door-to-door salesman. I couldn't tell you why the man with the axe didn't kill me. It's something that baffles me to this very day. I'm just grateful that I didn't end up in a bedsheet myself.
I'm a 23-year-old male in Florida, fairly introverted, and I hardly get out of the house. This encounter happened a few months ago. It was about 12 a.m., and I was getting a bit stir-crazy, and needed to get out and just chill with someone. So I texted a special lady friend of mine. We made plans to do our normal routine of hanging out at this nice secluded park. I went and picked her up. We drove past our spot and spent a couple of hours just chatting about anything and everything. Then she got hungry, so we decided to hop in the car and drive down the road a bit to McDonald's. Hooray for 24/7 fast food. This is where things started getting weird, though. We arrived at the McDonald's and went inside instead of through the drive-thru. She ordered her food while I went to the restroom to wash my hands. I'm a bit of a neat freak. I really wish I hadn't gone into the restroom that night. As soon as I walked in, I saw this guy standing at one of those heater-dryer things. Alright, not too weird. But then I noticed that he was kind of hunched over at it and wasn't moving. Whatever, I chose to ignore him. I washed my hands, but then I realized that he's standing at the only dryer in the place, and the damn paper towels are also empty. So I awkwardly try to ask the guy if he was done using the dryer. He doesn't respond. Thoroughly creeped out, I just walk out and dry my hands on my shirt. I get out of the restroom and find my friend, and we sit down at a table to eat. Maybe 20 minutes go by, and we're headed back out to the car to go back to our spot. Well, my friend has to use the restroom, so I figure I might as well also. I mean, surely that guy had to be gone by now, right? Wrong. That guy is still standing at the dryer, mumbling something to himself now. I go into the stall and take a leak, and I can hear him hitting the button on the dryer over and over again. I wash my hands again and don't even attempt to get at the dryer, but the guy moves just as I'm trying to walk past him. He steps back, right in my path, and just looks at me. I notice he's around my age. He just stares at me and says, "Excuse me." Okay. I put my head down and quickly say, "Pardon me," and rush around him to get out of the restroom. 30 seconds later, as I'm waiting for my friend to get out of the ladies' restroom, the guy walks out. He just sits down at a table near me and just staring straight at me. My friend walks out and notices the creep just eyeballing me. She jokingly asks, "Make a new friend in there?" I just shake my head at her and try to lead her out to the car without making it obvious that I'm wanting to run from the guy. And then he does the weirdest thing. He just starts cackling, like a madman, I mean straight up Joker laugh. I'm thinking to myself, "Aw shit, this crazy druggy dude is gonna do something bad." He then just stops suddenly, looks down at my feet, and says, "Nice shoes, Osiris." Osiris is a brand of shoe, by the way. I manage to stutter, "Thanks," and I walk away quickly, out to the car. As my friend and I are getting in, we notice the guy staring at me from inside the McDonald's, just straight eyeballing me, death stare. He then stands up and starts booking it towards us. He wasn't running, but he was like speed walking. He bursts through both doors of the McDonald's and starts coming right at us. Now he looks angry. I pulled out of the parking lot so fast, it's a damn good thing the roads were empty. My friend and I went back to our spot and hung out some more. Every car we saw in the distance, I kept freaking out, expecting it to be that weird guy following us. My friend teased me about it the entire night, and still teases me about it to this day. About how I made friends with the creeper in the bathroom who liked my shoes. I was living in a low-income housing apartment in Minnesota, and at the time, my mom and I simply couldn't afford to have an actual internet provider. This meant that I leached off of people in my building who had an unprotected wireless connection. Whenever their internet connections would go out, I would be forced to walk down to McDonald's in order to use the free Wi-Fi there. This had become a pretty common thing for me. During one of these internet droughts, I was standing about in the lobby of my apartment, about to leave, when the guy who lived next door to me, an older guy named Joe, stops me before I go. He tells me that him and another one of my neighbors were going to McDonald's for coffee, and that he'd buy me one if I went along. I figured, why not? I didn't really know much about Joe, since I mostly kept to myself. Let me explain, Joe. He's a hunchback with a beard gut, and a ZZ Top-esque beard was full of food crumbs that I can only assume were from a McBiscuit. But he seemed like a nice enough guy, so I went along. After a ride in his rickety truck through the Minnesota winter, I was happy to reach the McDonald's. Free Wi-Fi at last. And if Joe held up to his word, a free McCoffee as well. I sit down and fire up the laptop to soak in all of that free Wi-Fi. Soon after, Joe comes back with our McCoffees. As soon as he sits down, he starts asking me in a raspy voice.
So, boy, ever heard of God's DNA?
I look up from the Windows loading screen and ask, what? I was totally baffled and thinking, great, stuck with another fucking missionary. He goes on to inform me that God's DNA is the molecules that hold the universe together, not to mention it's what makes men genetically superior to women. I sure as shit didn't learn that in physics class, so I blew him off, and when I got the chance, quietly ducked into another booth to browse the internet in peace. He didn't seem to notice, because afterwards, a barrage of freaky beardy lumberjack dudes would come in and out of the McDonald's and talk to him for like 15 minutes at a time. I can only assume they were talking about God's DNA, because I did my best not to pay any attention. But Joe and his gang of weirdos still gave me a very creeped out feeling. I could tell that they kept looking over to stare at me when they thought I wasn't looking. Having had enough weirdness for the night, I decided to duck out when he hobbled off to the bathroom, I assume only to take an epic mix shit. I took my chance, folded up the laptop, and headed out to brave the cold Minnesota winter on the way back home. I reckoned that having to put up with the elements was still preferable to being around a bunch of weird-looking lumberjack creeps. I was almost back to the apartment when I heard the truck slowly rolling up and crunching the snow. I looked over my shoulder and saw Joe in his truck. Next to him was another one of those fucking bearded bums from McDonald's. I waved to them, but I got no response. Whatever. But then, every night after that, every time I went to McDonald's, either Joe or one of his weirdo lumberjack buddies would be there. I could practically feel them leering at me. They always appeared grungy and disheveled, forced to go to McDonald's just to use the internet. I tried avoiding them as much as I could. It almost seemed as if they knew ahead of time that I was going to be there. Considering they all had a relationship with Joe, I think it's very much likely that they actually did. Eventually, someone broke into Joe's apartment and stole his bicycle, prompting him to move elsewhere. I learned a couple of things about Joe after he left the apartment, such as that he traded most of his food stamps every month for drugs, and that he regularly told women in our apartment that he wanted to leave his body and spirit, and ravish them in their sleep, whatever that meant. After this point, though, I saw the McDonald's stalkers only sparingly, and then finally, never again.